we are going to take a journey through Scripture today. I'm going to be going literally from the front to the back to the front, then back to the front and the back. So hang on for the ride, will you? Last week we talked about our purpose, and actually we've talked about our purpose many, many times together. And this morning we're going to continue on that path of what is our purpose. Last week we said that our purpose, and reminded us that our purpose is what? What is your purpose as a Christian? To glorify God. And how do we glorify Him? We're going to take some practical steps there. Last week we talked about one of the best things that we can do to glorify God is to worship Him. He is worthy of our worship. Amen? So today our purpose is to glorify Him in worship. And we're going to take a further look, because our first step was to worship, and we're going to look at the second step, or a second desire from God's heart, and that is to be formed into His family. Did you know that God wants you to be a part of His immediate family? Amen? That's why He built His house all over the world. He said, you just come on home. Folks, I am glad you're here. Whether you've been here from the very beginning of Grace Point, or whether you've been here for 10 years, or if you've only been here for about an hour now, thank you for being in God's house. God wants you to be formed into His family. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, and I liked the expanded version here. I'm going to use it. It says the same thing, but it said it in some updated words. It says, God is the one who made all things. Can I get an amen on that? God is the one who made all things. And all things are for His. That means that you were made for His glory. We know that. All things are for His glory. And look what it says. He wanted to have many children to share His glory. You know what children are? Now, don't say a pain. You know, the Bible says that blessed is the man whose quiver is full. Folks, children need discipleship, which includes discipline. And we are His children. God wants children. That's why we are called not just the children of God, but the family of God. Because children make the family. We are God's family. That's why we are here. That's why you're here. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 5 says, God's unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into His family by bringing us to Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, the version that you see up here is from the New King James. It says, having predestined us to be to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Let me just tell you what that means again. It means this, and in a new version says, God's unchanging plan has always been for you to be a part of His family. Now make this personal. When I get to the point where I said you, I want you to say me. God's unchanging plan was for to be a part of His family. One more time. God's unchanging plan was for to be a part of His family. Folks, that's God's plan. Did you know that the Bible is not the story of God building a temporary family? That's not it. Not a temporary family here on earth, but a forever family in eternity. That's why we don't just get saved and then God beams us on up, Scotty. Listen, we are about coming to know Him in a love relationship. And being a part of God's forever family means that we learn fellowship. Fellowship with God, that's a part of our worship. And fellowship with the family. So the second purpose, the second part of God's purpose is for you to fellowship in His family. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 17 sums it up pretty simply with just a very short phrase in that scripture. And that is, love your spiritual family. Do what to your spiritual family? Love them. Fellowship, dear friends, is what we're looking at. And fellowship is a word that the Bible uses to describe loving each other. Loving each other in God's family. Now, what do you think about when I say fellowship? A lot of good Baptists think about last Sunday night where we had all the pie and the cake and the cookies. That's a fellowship. Yes, that's a part of fellowship. Do you think about eating? Do you think about getting together and talking? Do you think about gathering around and visiting? Those are just evidences of fellowship, dear people. So exactly what is fellowship? And that's what I'm going to be sharing with you this morning. What is fellowship in God's family? Folks, fellowship is loving God's family. 1 John chapter 4, verse 21 says, "This commandment we have from Him, that he who loves God must love his brother also." Who are we to love? Listen, we love God and we love the brethren, which includes the sisters as well. Folks, we are to love God's family. Now, what does that mean and how do we do that? Fortunately, the Bible gives us some instruction. Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 says, and Paul wrote this to Timothy. He says, "I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth." Listen, we are the ground of truth. We are the pillar of God's truth. We are the training ground. And he says, "I'm writing so you know how to act with each other." We have a lot of instruction in God's word for how we're going to relate to one another. Now, again, what does that mean and how do we do it? Folks, church is not just a building, amen? Listen, we are not building the church out there where you see all the construction when you came in. We're building a place for the little part of the church to meet. And I mean the smaller, the younger portion. Listen, folks, that's not the church. The church is sitting right here. And the church is in the little rooms all in the back with all of our children. That's the church. God's family requires four different levels of fellowship. And you go, "Wow, you're going to preach on four things. I'm going to do it quickly this morning." Now, why do they matter and why should you care? Because it is impossible to fulfill all the other purposes of God if you don't fulfill the four different levels of fellowship. So, folks, I'm going to share with you today how to fellowship. You go, "Pastor, I think you know how to fellowship very, very well." I do. I'm all about the sitting together and the enjoying the meals together. But folks, it's about the spiritual meals and the spiritual feeding as well. Each level is important. So let's talk about the first level. What is the very first level of fellowship? It is choosing to belong to God's family. You know what that's called? It's called salvation first, but then once you get saved, you have a desire beyond that. It's called church membership. That's the first level, choosing to belong. It's the most basic level of fellowship that there is. You have a place to belong. If you belong to God, you've got a place. God has a place for you. You find a church family and you choose to connect to it. You know what I say every time somebody joins the church? Listen, I do this with our folks because when we bring them together, we have what we call that little marriage ceremony at the end. I say, "You open up your circle of kinship and friendship," and then I ask them to do the same so that you can be connected to one another. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 19 says, "You are members of God's very own family, and you belong in God's household." It goes on to say that you belong in God's household with every other Christian. Now, you can't be with every other Christian, but you can be with those that are around you. Here's the thing. If you belong to God, if you know Christ as Lord and Savior, then, dear friend, you not only belong to God, you belong to His family. Now, I want you to do this. This is going to be awkward. Are you ready? Just get ready. I want you to turn around and find somebody either behind you or in front of you, not the person you're sitting next to. And I want you to say, "I belong to you." Go ahead. Do it. Now, was that awkward? No. Listen, friend, God's word says that you belong to one another. The person you just talked to may be somebody you've never met before in your life, and some visitor is going, "Boy, these folks are a little strange." Can anybody say amen? We are family. We belong to one another. God's word says so. The Christian life is not just a matter of believing, which it is, but it's also a matter of belonging. And you must choose to belong. You can separate yourself or you can be a part of God's family. Listen, I'm going to tell you this. A Christian without a church family is an orphan. An orphan. And I'm going to tell you, it's hard for orphans to get along without some help. You need some help. Now, I've had people tell me this. I literally have not only heard of people saying it, but I've had them tell me this when I said, man, we'd really like for you to come and be a part of the church. They say, you know, I'm a Christian, but I don't want to belong to any church. I mean, that's worse than saying, I'm a football player, but I don't want to be a part of any team. Where are you going to practice your sport? That just doesn't work. Did you realize that the church helps you to live out what it means to be a Christian? Friends, the church of the living God is the pillar and the ground of His truth. You need it. God meant for us to be a part of a family. He never intended for you to be a loner. No lone wolves in God's family. And as such, God's word says we belong to each other. We are members together. Romans chapter 12, verse 5 says this, in Christ, we who are many form one body. How many bodies? One body. And each member belongs to all the others. Now, I could have you stand up and look around the room and say, I belong to you, but it'd be chaos. So let me just tell you, would you please take that to heart right now? You belong to every other member. You're a part of His body. God never intended for there to be floating Christians. In other words, they go from church to 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 church, and they never plug into one. If you want to grow, if you want to grow closer to the Lord, if you want to see Him work in your life, join the body because you're a part of it. It's like a severed finger sitting on a shelf if you're not a part of the body. If you're floating, you're like a heart without a body. You're sitting there beating for no purpose, right? You need to be a part of God's family. I've had people tell me this one too. Well, I never became a member because I just never could find that perfect church. You going to tell them or am I? There is no perfect church on this earth yet. Amen? I've even heard somebody say, if you find the perfect church, whatever you do, don't join it. You're going to mess it up. And that's true. Do you know why we can say that? Because we are all sinners. Every one of us are sinners. We need God's salvation. We need God's help. We need the church's help. We need our church's support. We need the church's love. We're not perfect, but we are to work together, to give together, to serve together, to love together. Dear friends, it all starts by choosing to be a part of God's forever family. Secondly, the second level of friendship, of fellowship. Oh, I gave that one away, didn't I? The second level of fellowship is friendship. Learning to share. Friend, you were made for relationships. God made you to want to be around other people. As a matter of fact, even early in Genesis, we learned that it was not good for man to be alone. Amen? It's not good for man to be alone. And it's not just his spouse or her spouse. Folks, it is not good for us to try to walk alone. In other words, we're made for each other. Life is not a solo act. You need friends. Acts chapter 2 verse 44 says, all the believers met together constantly and shared everything with each other. Folks, they met together. Friendship is a choice. You can't develop friends without some time spent together. And many people are lonely because they don't make time for friends. They're too busy achieving, or they're too busy working, they're too busy doing other things. Proverbs, you've heard this scripture before. Maybe you didn't know where it was. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24 says, a man that has friends must show himself friendly. That's in Proverbs 18, 24. And that's not the end of that verse. It says that there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Listen, have you ever had somebody outside of your family that you thought, man, we're not blood, but we ought to be? Can I get a hand raised testimony? Some of them are right here in the church, and you can say, that's my friend. We're closer than sisters. We're closer than brothers. We're closer than family. No, you're not closer than family. You just happen to be a part of God's family, and there is nothing closer than that. Folks, friendship is a choice. Having a friend is not luck. Hello? Having a friend is not luck. It's a choice, and you make time to be together. You can't develop friendships without sharing experiences. The Bible says, just as iron sharpens iron, one friend sharpens another. We're always sharpening each other when we're in Christian fellowship. You can't develop friendships without sharing your home. Did you know that 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9 says, open your homes to one another? Now, nowhere in there does it say, if you have a 3,000 square foot home that's really immaculate, open your home to other people. It says, open your home. If it's a trailer on the back of a truck parked down at the camping spot, that's your home. Open it up. Invite people in. You go, oh, I just don't. Yes, you can. You've got to experience what God has for you. Now, I'm not saying invite the whole church over to your tiny little house at one time, unless you need us to help move it. That's happened. Friend, why should we do that? Why should we open our homes? Why do we need to experience each other? Because it's difficult to fellowship in a crowd. Many of you said hello this morning, but there really wasn't much intimate fellowship here. The fastest growth occurs in small groups. Did you know that the first 300 years of the church, they didn't have what they called the church building? And if they did, you know what they called it? Home. Home. They met in people's houses for 300 plus years. No church building, and yet that was the fastest time of growth in church history. You see, a child of God was never meant to face their problems alone. The truth is that when you share a joy, listen to me, when you share a joy, it's doubled. But when you share a trouble, it's cut in half. That's why the Bible says to weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. Now, to get to the second level of fellowship, you've got to get into a small group. That's why we meet. Y'all see all these rooms up here? There's a reason for those rooms. Some of you have never been in those rooms. I hope you get there next week. I hope you come this week on Wednesday night. That's why we have Wednesday night Bible studies. That's why we have some home groups. And we are going to be starting new home groups this summer. I hope you get signed up for those to bring people to your home. We have Sunday classes, Wednesday classes, homes group. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, you know. It says, let us not give up the habit of meeting together. Instead, let us encourage one another. I was talking with one of our members this morning. David was sharing with me that he had a friend who told him that they watch online, but they never come to church. They said, you know, when COVID happened, we just stayed home and we kind of got in the habit of staying home. I guess we could get into that habit. I'm going to tell you, you cannot experience the church, which is the body. You can hear the message. You can hear the music, but you cannot experience the fellowship and have iron sharpened iron, and you cannot be a part of a small group if you don't come to church. Aren't you glad you're in God's house this morning? Amen. There's a third level of fellowship, and that's partnership. Doing my part. What does God want me to do? Partnership, dear friends, is realizing that you have a contribution to make. Listen, as a part of the body, you need to be a part of the body, doing what the body does. Just coming to church and doing nothing else is like sitting in a hot spa hour after hour after hour. If you don't get out and do something, you just get all pruney. Right? Listen, it's great for a little while, but it ought to invigorate you to want to get up and do something else. It is a wonderful thing to be a part of God's family, but it's also a wonderful thing to serve. Do your part. God not only wants to do something for you, God not only wants to do something in you, but God wants to do something through you. In every family, there's responsibilities. If you're not teaching your children that, you're doing them a disservice. Do you agree? Every child ought to have some chores. And there are children out there going, "Thanks, Pastor." You better thank me, because it's going to give you a wonderful, wonderful help in life. Your children ought to have chores. They ought to have responsibilities. In every family, there's responsibilities. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 says, we are partners working together for God. Working together for God. In the Greek, that word fellowship is often translated partners. Should I say sometimes translated partners? We all have a part. From the cradle to the grave, we have a part. Have you found your niche? Maybe you need to be, I can't do anything, I can't teach. Maybe you could just be a greeter at the door. Have you got a good smile and a good handshake? Man, we need you at the doors. Maybe you could be in the parking lot to help people in or open the door. You know what my mama said? My mama, dearly departed mother, most of you knew her. You know what she told me? She said, I just love it when the folks at the door come out and help me get my walker out of the back. It's so hard. Now, don't you feel guilty for not helping her? That wasn't the point. But that we see a need and we help. Amen? Listen, whether it's in the parking lot or on the inside or in your home, we need to be fellowshipping with each other by helping and serving one another. Do your part. Ephesians 4:16 says, the whole body is fitted together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Ephesians 4:16. It is healthy when all the parts are doing their share. We accomplish more together than we ever could alone. That's why we have church body called the church. You want to experience a deeper level of fellowship? Do you? Then look for practical ways to meet a family member's need. Sometimes it's to help with a problem at the house. Sometimes it's to counsel when they are discouraged. Sometimes it's to help with the kids. Sometimes it's to provide meals like you did for me and for my family in the time of loss where my mom and we were taking care of all those things. What a blessing to have people who love and who care and meet the very practical needs of their family. Do you remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, verse 40? Do you remember what was going on there? We've used this scripture a number of times lately. As the great white throne judgment is occurring, and he looks at the person and he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of my kingdom. For when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. When I was in prison, you visited me. When I was naked, you clothed me. And so on. And they said, what? Lord, when did we see you with all of these needs? We don't remember seeing God in that kind of need. And Jesus said what? Just as you did it for one of the least of these, my brethren. Stop a minute. Just as you did it for the least of these, my brethren, my church family. He said, you did it for who? Me. For God himself. Folks, meeting needs. And then the fourth level of fellowship is kinship. We do this one a lot. We talk about this one a lot. Loving believers love like family. That's what it's about. Kinship literally means your closest relationship. That's what kinship is. That's why I say, well, you open up your circle of kinship and friendship whenever somebody comes. literally means your closest relationship. Acts chapter 2 verse 42 says, they were like family to each other. That's the kind of attitude we should have. Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to each other like a loving family. Now, we at Grace Point Fellowship have come to realize that we're not just like family. We are family. If you just like family, you can walk away with no consequences because you've got no real blood tie. But when you are family, you don't walk away. You'll work through the problems. You're there when others need you. We're to be committed to each other like we are to Christ. That's a family relationship. That's kinship. Now, most of you know John 3:16. Say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Y'all know that one. How many of you know 1 John 3:16? It is just as important. 1 John 3:16 says, we know what real love is because Christ gave up his life for us. And we ought to give up our lives for our Christian brothers and sisters. Wow. This is the deepest level of fellowship, that we would sacrifice for one another. This is the kind of love that Christ Jesus had for you, and it says right there, and we ought to give our lives for our Christian brothers and sisters just as Christ did for us. Life is not about accomplishments, dear people, and I know that we all get there. Can I achieve this? Can I get that? Can I put enough in the bank for retirement? Can I do this? Can I listen, life, the life in Christ Jesus is not about accomplishments. Life in Christ Jesus is about relationships. Relationships. First, you were put on this earth to know God and to love him. And what that was the first commandment, right? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. What is the second commandment? To what? To love your neighbor as yourself. Second, you were put here to love the church family, to get to know them, to fellowship with them. I cannot tell you the number of times I have been at the bedside of folks who were dying. I shared this with you before. I'm going to share it again. I cannot tell you how many times I have been there when somebody was breathing their last breaths. And I'm going to tell you, not one single time have I ever heard somebody say, bring my diplomas. I want to see my diplomas. Not one time ever they said, drive the Lexus in here. Drive the Caddy up where I can see it from the window. Not one time. Not one time I've ever had them say, would you bring my portfolio? I want to look through it one more time. What do they say? Bring my family. Call my friends. Gather them around. Folks, dear friends, I pray that you will not wait until you are dying to discover this. Loving God is called worship. It's one of the ways that we love him. Loving each other, we can call fellowship. Jesus said in John 13, verse 35, he says, this world will know that you are mine by what? The way you love each other. That's how the world's going to know that you are my disciples. Dear friends, people are not looking for religion. When they come to church, they're not looking for a religion. You know what they're looking for? They're looking for a family. They want a family in God. We want Grace Point Fellowship, folks, not to be known for its size. We're not very big. We want Grace Point Fellowship not to be known for its sermons. We don't want it to be known for the building that we're building for the children or for anybody else. We want it to be known by our love for one another. That's what he said. That's how people are going to know that we love God, by our love for each other. We want people to say, you know what? That's the place where they really love each other. Really? Maybe I need to go see what that's about. Oh, praise God. And then when they get here, you better be loving each other. Amen. Don't make your pastor have to come whoop on you. or have the pastor whooped on by you. We need to be doing what God called us to do, and that is to love each other. That's what Christianity is about, loving God and loving each other. People are not looking for doctrine, dear friends. They're looking for love. So you know what we need to do? We need to give them both. Love on them and then give them the doctrine. Amen? The greatest privilege, the greatest blessing that you will ever be offered in life is the privilege of being a part of God's family. A lot of people grew up in homes where they were not loved very well. I'm sorry. It's not right. And honestly, you might struggle with how to love. So you need to be taught. Isn't that exactly what Paul said to Timothy? He said, I'm writing these things so that you'll know how to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the living church of God. We learn through God's love and through His Holy Spirit how to love people, how to really love people. That's what we're here for. Would you bow your heads with me? Oh, Father, we are so thankful for your love. And all God's people said, amen. God, we know that next to salvation, the greatest gift you've ever given us is the opportunity then to be a part of what you do, to be a part of your family. Thank you, God. Thank you that we don't have to go through life disconnected and isolated. You'd never wanted that for us. You want us to be a part of your forever family. Thank you, God, for creating the Grace Point family for all of us here. And Lord, for many to come, would you bring them home? Bring them to us, Lord. Now, with your heads bowed and eyes closed, would you bow your head for just a moment and would you pray? Perhaps you need to pray this morning to just say, God, I want to be a part of your family. I want to be a more active part. I want to be a more loving part. Maybe you know that you just need some help doing that. Would you ask God for his strength and help to do that right now? God, I want to love my spiritual family like you do. Help me. Would you pray that prayer? God, help me.